Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, I'd like to welcome everyone to Royal Daughters. This is Sister Debbie. I have the joy of the Lord. God bless you. So thank you so much for joining me on today. Today we're going to be coming from the book of Ruth, and I've just entitled it Ruth. We'll go into that in more detail. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praise for who you are, oh God, the God of Israel, oh God, the God that we can take rest under your wing, oh God. And Father, we thank you that our expectation is of you, Lord God, and we will get a full reward, and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, welcome to Royal Daughters. We've been in operation for a while. Wow, I want to go back and say at least since 2019, maybe 2018, and then there are a couple of other things that I've done as well, but I'm going to focus now and bring our minds in to the book of Ruth, and I'm going to be talking about Ruth and her life, the kind of person that she was. You know, she was the only woman, as I've read, who was called an Eche Ha'il. So she was a woman of valor, a woman of honor, a woman of moral strength and character. And from what I can gather, she was the only one that was called an Eche Ha'il. That was a very high honor. Now, Eche Ha'il is also found in Proverbs 31. Hopefully, we'll get to go into that a little bit. God bless you. Let's go ahead now and start with the book of Ruth. Why the book of Ruth? You know, Ruth has been on my heart. I am a Ruth. Now, what that means is I have a spiritual mother. She's my Naomi. And I'm her Ruth. And so what that means is that, you know, the Bible says in Titus 2, let's start there and then keep your finger in Ruth. In the book of Ruth. And I want to tell you how this kind of plays out, okay? So, you know, we're talking about not only in the 21st century, but we're also talking about when the church started. Wow, I really want to go back to the island of Crete or even the book of Acts. But let's kind of focus on the fact that God knew that the church would need elders and leaders and those that show us the way, help us to walk in the way and to establish churches and keep them strong and keep the devil out, right? Let's go now as I'm heading on over to the book of Titus, and that's in the New Testament, and right after Timothy. And so what are we talking about? We're talking about Ruth, and let's lay some foundation here. We're talking about a couple of things, but let me start here. I'm going to start in the book of Titus because I want to lay some foundation about the kind of mothers that young women need, the kind of godly, spiritual, Christian, seasoned women that young women need, and also young men need older, wise, holy men to lead them and to guide them and to model before them Christ's likeness so they can see what the kingdom of God looks like, because we are to what? Represent and bring people to and help them to see the kingdom of God so they'll know there is a king and that he's real and that this kingdom exists. Amen. All right, so now I'm going to go over to Titus 2. In 1, it says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. So everything that we share as believers needs to be sound. It needs to be a whole. It needs to be healthy. These are some other synonyms for the word sound. This is what God wants us to be. So when you meet a Christian, God wants us to be whole. God wants us to be healthy. God wants us to be sound, right? That kind of lays it out there. So God is looking for models like Naomi. I'll get into a little bit of that as I go into the book of Ruth. God is looking for older, godly, seasoned women to then model for younger women how to live in the kingdom, because guess what? Christians come from another kingdom. This is not our home. Jesus Christ came to do what? He came to bring men to repentance. He said, behold, he said, well, I want to actually go to that scripture. Now, I'm going to have to kind of paraphrase it a little bit, but he was letting them know to repent because the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven was at hand. And so now Jesus was here. Jesus Christ was the King of Kings that the Israelites were looking for to kick the Romans out and to rule and to reign. They thought he was going to be this kind of king, you know, to rule in that kind of a kingdom, to lord everything over everybody. You know, I'm the king, right? But Jesus Christ came as a suffering servant. He came to serve mankind. He came riding in on a donkey. So, wow, they missed the lamb. They missed him because they were looking for somebody else. But the kingdom of God is not in meat or drink, but in righteousness, joy, and in the power. I want to say it right. The kingdom of God is not in, Holy Spirit, help me. The kingdom of God, hallelujah. Oh, wow. You know what? I don't even have this scripture in front of me, y'all. I'm kind of just flowing a little bit, pulling on the Lord. a bit. But God wants us to know that the kingdom of God is not based on any material things. Not that it is materialized. I've never been to heaven. Amen. But God is saying it's in righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. And these are the eternal things that God wants us to hold on to and to develop and to partake in our lives. Amen. So now we have God, Jesus Christ, coming and bringing the kingdom of God. And you know, now those Israelites who became, or those Jews who became believers, you know, here Jesus was, the Son of God, telling mankind to repent, telling the Jewish people to repent, or telling the people who were there to repent before John the Baptist was telling people to come and to be baptized of Jesus, to come and to repent before the Lord. Because God now, he was Jesus, and he wanted to show them another kingdom. He was now, here was this king, this promised seed who had come, who had been promised to Israel, who needed a king, and God would bring them a king. And so here now we have Jesus before us, and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords was now what? He was now coming to save. He was now coming to lead. He was eventually going to let them be, giving them the Holy Spirit, that they might be filled with the power of God to live out the works of God and the word of God. Amen. So now we're laying this format. We have the King of Kings. We have the Lord of Lords. He's come to the earth to bring the kingdom of God, and God is looking in Book of Acts. Now I'm kind of going, I'm sorry, Book of Titus. God is now looking, and I'm kind of all over the place. You guys kind of follow where I'm taking you with this. God wants to make, he wants us to bring the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ is with the Father in heaven, right? He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. His children, the body of Christ, the church, okay, try to look at all my symbols, it's the reality though. But anyway, I want you guys to kind of catch a picture of what I'm saying as I go back to my text. God now wants us to walk as these kingdom citizens representing him, bringing the kingdom of God, pointing men and women to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So let's kind of take it from that point. So now back to Ruth and Naomi. And so Naomi, who was a spiritual mother to Ruth, Naomi, now this is the Titus 2 tells us, these are the kind of characteristics, the qualities that a godly woman should have. And I want to go ahead and lay those out because I want to give you guys a taste a little bit about, I believe Naomi had to have some of this because she was a God-fearing woman, right? And so God's character doesn't change. So this is what God is asking, and this is what God commands, really, from every godly, seasoned, older woman. And if we're not there yet, let's aspire to be like this. This is what God commands us and commissions us to be. It's in the book of Titus, chapter 2. It says, again, I already read one, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. That means speak the word, okay? Speak the holy word of God, all right? What's going to happen when you speak the holy word of God? What's going to happen when you read the holy word of God? In verse 3, it says, the aged women likewise, if they be in behavior as becometh holiness. As you begin to, once you receive Jesus Christ, and you begin to get to the word and renew your mind, God's word begins to change you. And you begin to study the word. You begin to find out what God desires and what he requires and what he likes. And the fact that he created you in his image and after his likeness, here it is. It says, the aged women likewise, if they be in behavior as becoming holiness. God is holy. He created us in his image and in his likeness. Would it be holy as he's holy? And listen, not false accusers, right? Who's the accuser of their brethren? Satan's accuser of their brethren, right? Another word for false accuser, slanderer. God doesn't want us to be slanderers. And they're not giving too much wine. We don't need to be drunk and, you know, in our own depression and drinking wine in a stupor somewhere. We can't help anybody like that. We can't lead anybody like that. No one can trust anyone like that because you're wavering back and forth. You're not solid. Your mind's somewhere else, right? What happens when you drink? You're just intoxicated, right? God wants us wide awake and be watchful and be facing our stuff with the Holy Ghost. Amen. To take the Holy Spirit to face the things that are out here and say, I'm going to help you to face the things that you need to face. Because greater am I this in you than he this in the world. I'm still in Titus 2. I'm going to get to the book of Ruth. Thank you all for your patience. Got to, let me just kind of lay a little foundation here as I take us on over to Naomi and what happened, I think, to Ruth. Some impartation I believe she received. All right, so basically it says, not given too much wine, teachers of good things. And so the Naomis and the older women, as I mentioned to you, I have a Naomi in my life. The older women are supposed to teach younger women good things. I just mentioned the things that are good. You know, here it is. He's a whole, this is becoming holiness, not a false accuser, not giving too much wine, teachers of good things. And it goes on to say, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. And so we find that God is wanting us, he created us in his image and his likeness, and he wants us to be like him and to represent the kingdom of God. So now we're going to go on over to the book of Ruth. And I want to lay a little bit of foundation in that particular book so now we understand what God wants. Amen. He wants us to be these kind of women. So here Ruth was. Now we're in Ruth 1, and I'm going to begin to read to you. Ruth was now going to encounter a Naomi. She was going to now encounter the God of Israel through a woman by the name of Naomi. Now, Ruth was a Moabitess, okay? So her people, they worship Molech. Molech was a false god, and he was a wicked, evil god. From what I read, he was a mean god. And so the people brought sacrifices. They sacrificed their children before to Molech. And so he was a very mean god. And so that was their experience, and that was Ruth's experience growing up. And so here now we have Ruth. She marries Naomi's son. It was either Mahan. I'm going to get into that a little bit. I'll read the text, chapter 1. And then her sister married the other brother. And so now we have a mixed marriage. We have where these Israelite or Jewish brothers are marrying Moabite women. And that, I'm sure that wasn't too acceptable. But anyway, it happened. Don't know how it happened. I don't have the text on that, the information on that. My focus is really on Ruth specifically. Let me go ahead and take you all to the text. Wow. Okay. Now, hold this in your ear. Because I'm trying to say the Lord is doing it. He's doing, I'm going to read the text, but he's giving me 16, dropping 16 on me. So hold on to 16. Listen, it says, then Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, thy God, my God. And so here, keep that in mind. So here's this Moabitess. She's come from this horrible, you know, experience and background, full of fear, right, full of this false god, and now she's meeting Naomi. Naomi's name means sweet, and it's her mother-in-law, so she has a loving mother-in-law. Let me go ahead and lay the story out. Now, it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons, and the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites or Bethlehem Judah, of Bethlehem Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. So we have Moab, right? That's the country that they went to live in. There was a famine in that land, right? They sojourned. It said that went to sojourn in the country of Moab, right? And so the Moab people were called Moabites. I think I talked a little bit about that. I'm going to keep on reading. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. Ooh, gotcha. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the women was left. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. I'm going to read that one again because we want to catch that. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might returned from the country of Moab. She had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. 7. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. So it sounds like to me they were leaving Moab and were going down to Judah, right? And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find rest. Hold on to that word rest. each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. That sounds really interesting. Have you ever met anyone, you know, could be a mom, an aunt, a grandmother, you maybe your own parents, a really dear, loving friend, that actually you loved them so much you felt like crying, like, I love you so much, you know, feel so encompassed or so impassioned in your heart of love for them, holy passion, just a holy love, where you just really want to just be close to them, and you want like a sister, you know what I mean, like a mom and a daughter, you just have such a love for them, and so you can tell the fact that they lifted up their voice and they wept, but they had connection, they had a relationship with their mother-in-law. They loved her. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. Okay, so now they were going to go and leave Moab, all that they had known. And they were going to follow Naomi into Judah. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight and should bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Will you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieved me much for your sake that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. Oh, my God, they just totally loved her. Have you ever experienced anyone in your life? It could have been a mentor. It could be a teacher. I mean, that's how powerful the presence of God is. That's how powerful and moving the love of God is. It will bring you to tears, literally. Happy tears, you all. Okay, and they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. So Ruth was just attached in her heart. Something Ruth was seeing a little bit deeper. She was kind of, let me kind of check out this Naomi a little deeper. Let me find out. I got to get what Naomi has. Wait, you have something that I need. You're not going anywhere. You know what I'm saying? So God was keeping Ruth close. God was drawing Ruth close to himself, I believe, through Naomi, right? God was drawing her, I believe. And so then we have, I told you all to hold on to the word rest, right? And so, you know, God, there's a rest in God. There's peace in God. There's a joy in God. And if you remember that Ruth came from the place of Moab where the false god that was over there, they're giving abortions in that false god's name, but they don't know about. They're sacrificing their children. The same spirit, Molech, yeah, Molech. So she came from this wicked, evil spirit, you know, spirited place. And so you think she wanted to go back there? No. She and then her mother-in-law was sweet too. She had already tasted of the God of Israel. Once you taste of the God of Israel, you don't want anything else. Jesus is the truth. So once you taste the truth, once you taste the wisdom, once you taste the way a life works, once you get understanding, all your ways get an understanding, and then the hands-on, the application of love and action through Naomi, she wasn't going nowhere. Why in the world would she return back to Moab? Are you kidding? God was drawing sweet Naomi to Ruth. And so as we continue going on, the Lord's here, amen. Verse 15, and she said, behold, my sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her God. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. 16, and that's what Ruth said. Remember the verse I started with? And she said, and Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Listen, she goes deeper than this. But she says, where thou diest, will I die. There will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. So it's not like she really, really, God was really bonding them together for a purpose. And so that's really significant that we really want to hold on to as well. And I'm going to go into a little bit verse 18, but not yet. And so understand, these kinds of relationships do exist. sometimes, you know, if we, you know, because we live in the world system, you know, and Ephesians 2, it talks about that. And I may go over that too, a little bit too. Because we, you know, we're born in sin and shaped in iniquity. We don't, our eyes are blind. We're blind to the experience and the love and the presence of God and the reality of the kingdom. Jesus Christ already came to bring and the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. We're so blinded to the presence of God because we're in so much darkness and sin, and the devil doesn't want to let go of us and let us out until truth comes. And when truth and love come and they kiss and they meet one another, our lives are changing. We are never the same. And my God, that's such a call to the Naomis, isn't it? Isn't that such a call for the Naomis to say, come on, it's time for truth and love to meet, that these daughters might be kissed and know that God kisses them with the kisses of his mouth, according to Song of Solomon 1, that God wants to draw these daughters onto himself and raise them up and let them experience the kingdom of God. God wants to use you. God wants to use you. And so now we have this divine love affair, really, in the spirit, where God is drawing these two women together, and they're both experiencing the love of God together. What do I mean? God is bringing Ruth into a relationship with himself. Naomi already has a relationship with the Lord, but she's in a different season in her life. She had already known the God of Israel, but because she had lost so many things, she lost her husband, and she lost her two sons, and then, you know, it was a famine, and she was in Moab, and so she, you know, so many different things were going on with Naomi. She was old, and she couldn't have any more children. And I mean, so she has all these situations, and we're not even talking about the fact that she's a female, and now she doesn't have a husband, so who's going to take care of her? Where's she going to live? Where's she going to eat? There's just so many questions about her rights, you know, and then here's this God, this little daughter who wants to follow her along as though she had had hope. You know, the Lord gave me a scripture, and I think it was on yesterday. I was trying to find this scripture. I did find it in the particular text, I mean, in Proverbs, but, you know, it's written in a different translation. But the Lord encouraged me. I was encouraged in the scripture because he was letting me know. It's in Proverbs, I think it's 18:23. Yeah, it's in 23:18. Proverbs 23:18 says, "For surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off." And so the Lord was letting me know, your hope is not going to be cut off. The thing that you hope for, the thing that God has promised you, it's not going to be cut off. God is a God that keeps his promises. He keeps his promises. He draws you with his presence. Amen. And he gives you his power by the Holy Spirit. Amen. And then he keeps his promises. And those three P's are from my pastor. I know he shared that. He shared God's presence, God's power, and God's promises. And so I'm injecting that this into this particular message. Amen. Because it works and it's true. And so now we have this young Ruth who is amazed. Still, she's been so captured. She's tasted of the God of Israel. So listen, at this point, okay, Naomi, you know what? You're bitter. You're hurting. But guess what? I'm not going to leave because I've already seen Jesus in you. Too late. I've already seen the God of Israel in you. Too late. You know what? Matter of fact, I'm going to start praying for you in secret because, you know what, you're going to come through this. And so now God was starting to draw Ruth to him. I believe he was drawing Ruth to him. Amen. So I'm going to go on back over to, Lord has me going. Let me see, Holy Spirit, which way you want me to go. Okay, so put your finger back in the book of Ruth again. I'm going to be going somewhere else. So, okay, keep it there. I probably will go over to, I believe it's 19. I'll go over to 19. Okay, so let me just explain this really quick a little bit more. It's the reason why he's bringing me over to Ephesians 2 again. So, you know, in Ephesians 2, I kind of expounded on it. I didn't really read the text yet, but in Ephesians 2, because this is, again, I was talking about how we're blinded. The Lord's leading me verse 4. Let me go to 4 and follow the Holy Spirit. Verse 4 is dropping. He's dropping 4 on me. That's what's coming to me. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, for by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So the Lord was calling her. The Lord was drawing her. And the Lord is drawing a lot of you too, you young women. The Lord is talking to some of the older women too, I believe. I hope and pray so. Amen. So do it, Lord Jesus. So God is drawing you to let you know there's so much more. You know, sometimes we think it's in men and we think it's in mates. We think if I get just the right house, the right job, the right car, the right career, the right this. But really what we're looking for is a relationship with Jesus Christ, a real, real, real one. And so, you know what I was thinking too? Oh, wow, Lord knows I got it. Let me stay focused. I was going to tell you something else I was thinking. Let me kind of stay focused and see what God is saying here. So God is drawing you with his love. God is drawing you with his compassion. God is talking specifically to you. And don't ignore it. Don't ignore what the Lord is saying to you. Amen? Praise the Lord God. So Ephesians 2 and 12 says that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. What did Jesus do in verse 13? This is for you. Listen for somebody. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Marie 14, and he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Amen. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for two make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Amen. And so the Lord was, he was drawing Naomi to himself. He was reconciling Naomi. You know, God is calling the world to him. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And so that's the Holy Spirit that begins to draw us. That's the Holy Spirit. For those of you all that are listening, you're feeling a drawing. That's the Holy Spirit that's drawing you to his world. He's drawing you to Jesus. Amen. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Amen. So we're going back to the text now. And so here was this rule that says, you know what, I'm not leaving. So guess what happened? Guess what happened when she said that? 18. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. That means she said, okay, you know what? This girl's not going to give up. All right, you know what? So in other words, I don't have anything to give you, but if you want to hang out, okay, you can hang out. Cool, because, right, God was ministering to Naomi. Amen. And so I'm just going to be still and see what the Lord wants to say to that. So, God, you know, I'm perceiving that somebody's crying. I want you to know, I don't know if you lost your mother, you know, lost your mom. I want you to know that the Lord, you know, will be like a mother to you. He's the all-compassionate father. He's the all-compassionate one. The Bible says he's the father of all compassion. And compassion is synonymous with the word womb. Okay, so he loves you like the baby that's in the womb. He was with his bowels of mercy and his love, and he wants to cover you like a father and hold you and rock you and be with you and nurture you and minister to you. And really, in reality, really, that's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the comforter. And so I'm asking, even now, let's pray. Let's ask, Holy Spirit, whoever is, if anybody's grieving, I don't know if it's grieving of, it's really, I think the grieving of a mother. Maybe it's a loss of a mother. Father God, if anyone is grieving, I'm asking you to comfort their heart right now and let them know, God, it's you. You are the one. You are the comforter. You use people, Father God. And I pray that you would comfort her and meet her need and or his or her need and that loss they've had, God. But you are the one that we seek. You are the one that Naomi, that Ruth was seeking, God. You know, Naomi was used by you, Father, but we know ultimately it's your spirit, it's your love, it's your comfort. So, Father, let her know or let him know that they're not alone. And I thank you, Lord God, for doing that. In Jesus' name I pray now. Amen. So now we're going to move on to 19. So they too went until they came to Bethlehem, So they too went until they came to Bethlehem, and it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them, and they said, is this Naomi? Now, they didn't recognize her, right? She had come from Moab, you guys, and she had some losses, and here she was back at the house of bread, and her friends didn't recognize her. And then verse 20, there's something with that. You know, sometimes we go through things. We go through seasons in our lives, and people may not recognize us or understand us. Maybe they're judging us, or I don't know. Maybe they understand that we're grieving, and they don't understand. Maybe they don't understand where we are at that moment. We need to pray for people when they're going through things. We need to ask the Lord how to minister to somebody when they're going through hard things, right? I just wanted to interject that. Let's see what the Lord would say about it. So the Lord says he understands your grieving. He understands your loss. And he's saying that he is the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, speak. What do you want to say to your people, Lord God? It's almost like I see him wiping your tears. Okay, so God, he understands. He understands your loss. And so you're not alone. All right. And so here we have this Naomi who's now bitter, and she's come to her people in Bethlehem, and they don't even recognize her. And verse 20, thank you, Lord God. And so I'm just going really slow because I'm just wanting the Lord. I want to hear the Lord and then be comforting that he wants to be okay. Amen. 20, praise Lord. Thank you, Lord. And she said unto them, Call me not Naomi, call me Myra, for the Almighty has dealt bitterly with me. And so she didn't know this season of her life. Maybe she's never experienced, I mean, losses of that magnitude, right? Some of you experience losses of great magnitude. You lost maybe your whole family, or you lost maybe, I don't know, your son, or your father, or your husband, or your wife, or your daughters, or your cousin. You lost people in your family, in your lives, and you don't understand it, and you're so confused, and you feel like you're all alone. But here is, this, again, this God of comfort. Here it is, this presence of God. Here it is, this existing Holy Spirit. Here it is, the love of God. It's all around you, but your pain is keeping you from experiencing and seeing it. Though he is there trying to penetrate that wall of disconnect and trying to get to you to let you know he is the God of all comfort, and he wants to comfort you. And so my prayer is that he would comfort you today, man. I'm not going to get to this. I may have to make a part two, but I am really trying to push on to the next verse. But I can't go beyond that which I am given. But it's important to know that the Lord will, that your hope will not be disappointed. You will not be disappointed. Whatever God has promised you, he will give you. I can't even speak beyond what God has given me. All I know is he wants to comfort hearts. And so I'm praying that God would do that for you today. Amen. I really want to do a part two because I really enjoy talking about Ruth. And hopefully you guys will tune in. And listen, this is a time of comfort, a time of God kissing you with the kisses of his mouth and basically just holding you and comforting you. God bless you, and thank you so much for tuning in today. God bless and take care. All right. Amen.